This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
When you left, but now I know I only hurt myself. Hey, bring it to me. Bring your sweet loving. Bring it all.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We're going to be joined by Darren Pang in just a minute. Martin Kilcoyne at 11. We'll talk to some Maryville coaches also. Let's see. All right, Mr. Pang is ready. Boy, you talk about a whirlwind week for Darren Pang. Broadcast a championship, part of the parade, and part of those celebrations in between. Darren, what do you? How you feeling today as you wake up?
How do I feel today? I feel phenomenal today, to be quite honest with you. And I guess why wouldn't I? Just an incredible ride, incredible emotion. But fun, Frank. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what you, I wish I could have done it as a player. I mean, I wish I could have done it as a, you know, in a management or coaching position. But, you know, to do it as.
Did we lose Derek?
A lot of my friends are broadcasters and they haven't done this before.
Hey, Darren, give us a little, insight into your celebrating. Were you at O.B. Clark's from early morning to late afternoon? take us through your celebrating.
Well, I was lucky enough, I was obviously there for Game 7. And so Fox Sports Midwest wrapped up the post game. John Kelly and the team, and then going to the locker room afterwards and having a couple of videos snapped in there with the Stanley Cup was unbelievable. Having Jay Bouwmeester fill up the Stanley Cup with champagne and having Pareko and some of the boys spraying champagne and beer all over and chugging. Then it was onto the plane, and I got to tell you, selfishly, 2.5 hours with those guys, with that group of guys, the guys we travel with all year long, that was really special. Nobody sat down. The only guy that sat down was Joe Vitale because I think he fell asleep after a while. but then as we arrived, we went right over to the Enterprise Center, and a lot of the players, the family, good close friends, they were all there for a private little get-together, and once again got to spend more time, and I think I might have rolled into bed at about 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Woke up at about 1, went right over to O.B. Clark's. And at O.B. Clark's, that was a nice 4-hour shift. It was nice to see Jimmy O'Brien and everybody there. And watching the players interact with the great hockey fans there at O.B. Clark's was really something else. I was, you know, I mean, Jimmy O'Brien and his family, they spend a lot of time. They do a lot of extra for these guys. It's gone on for a lot of years. And I think for the players to be mindful enough to bring it over there was phenomenal. Let me see. From that point on, I went over and was auctioned off for a charity golf tournament that Brett Hull was hosting at Gateway. Made my way over to Gateway the next morning, and we had a great time there. And it hasn't stopped, to be quite honest with you. Finally getting a break yesterday and spending some time with my daughter and my son-in-law and having a little bite to eat last night. And celebrating Father's Day and watching the U.S. Open was a great way to cap off an unbelievable couple of days following the parade and following that. Because that parade, as you well know, we've all watched it on TV. We've seen it. I've seen players. I've seen broadcasters. I've seen everybody take part in it. But to be able to experience that myself was incredible, just incredible.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I've never covered a Stanley Cup parade before. And I'm not sure if you've been a part of one before, Darren, but I got to believe there can't be many like this in history.
No, I just think the emotion of the city of St. Louis, just how passionate the fans are, Frank. I thought it was so kind and typical of St. Louis fans. It was nice. It was honest. It had such great spirit. I know it's a long day for everybody. When I heard some fans, because we were on one of the floats with the broadcasters, and you hear people saying that they've been up since 5 o'clock or 5:30 or 6 in the morning to get there, you're just like, that's incredible effort that it takes, an incredible love for the game and for the players. Braden Shen told me when we were on stage, he said, I'm not sure if our players could have spent any more energy leaving their float, walking down Market Street, handing the trophy off, going into the stands. I mean, these boys emptied the tank for the fans as well. You got to give them a lot of credit because, you know, they get it. They absolutely understand it and they get it. And that's why they spent every ounce of energy in making sure that the fans enjoyed sharing the Stanley Cup and that parade with them.
And with your great interviewing skills, you got Jordan Binnington to display a little emotion.
You know, my old buddy Steve Levy, whenever I needed to ask a proper question, because I think he's one of the best, I said, I'd always ask him. Well, I sent him the video of what Jordan Binnington answered, and I said, was this the right question? And he said, open-ended and perfect. Put it on your reel. So I didn't know what Jordan Binnington was going to say. We obviously didn't want players to go up there and, you know, I'm not going to say embarrass themselves because the time was about fun and all that, but we, you know, he wanted to make sure everybody was right and doing the right thing. And then he threw that out there and I thought it was absolutely perfect. I got to be honest with you. I thought it was perfect. And then having Larry Robinson throw his middle finger out there to Boston, I didn't see that one coming either, to be honest with you, Frank. I didn't see that one coming at all.
Yeah, this was Stanley Cup title number 10 for Robinson, I believe. I think he said that.
Yes.
And I got a feeling the way he was responding Saturday, this one was as good as when he was the most dominating defenseman in the league, winning them as a player.
Yeah, it's funny how maybe as you get older, you just appreciate what guys go through a little bit more. And, you know, I mean, every one of the advisors that Doug Armstrong has brought on board from Bob Gainey, and it started out with Dave Taylor, who celebrates his first, to obviously Larry Robinson's been around. Marty Brodeur has been a big part of this organization, and I wish that he could be there with us as well. Although, you know, things have gone well for Marty, and he's back with the organization that he started with. But, you know, he was a big part of the goalie development here, and I just think back at all the guys that Army brings forward, Al McGinnis as well, and they're all, you know, they've got calmness under fire, and they watch the players develop. They're basically guys that see them every day. They high-five them. They pat them on the shoulder. They tell them, you know, we need a little bit more here or great work there. And they're all a big part of it. And so to see Larry Robinson up there celebrating, another just special moment, certainly in my lives and for everybody else that saw him.
I'm not sure if you know the answer to this, but we know there are some Blues players that have already arrived in Las Vegas for the awards night of the NHL, which will be Wednesday. Is the whole team going or just the guys who are nominated for the awards? Or you tell me what you know.
Well, that whole team, they took off on a plane right after the parade and the celebration, Frank. They had that planned right from the get-go, and they were going to go out there and celebrate together and then obviously branch off and be there for the either for the awards. Obviously, got individuals. We've got Doug Armstrong up for GM of the Year, Craig Berube, coach, Binnington for rookie, Selke, and two other trophies for Ryan O'Reilly, and then, of course, the Stanley Cup. So I would imagine, if I'm a betting man, that the entire squad, or at least a large part of them, stay there in Vegas. They're having the time of their lives.
Would O'Reilly have the best chance of winning his award? What do you think?
Well, the voting already took place before the playoffs started. But, you know, I think based on the season that he had and the consistency that he had and the matchups, obviously the Selke's about the best defensive forward. He's a center iceman. He goes up against the other team's best centerman. He's matched up on D-zone faceoffs. He did it all. I think if he did not win that Selke award as the best defensive forward in the National Hockey League, I think it would be a crying shame. And I think I would say to the writers, I think you'd have to pay a little bit more attention in a season like this because he had the ultimate season.
And I would think Doug Armstrong's work last July 1st would make him a strong contender to win it, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I think for a number of reasons, making the trade with the Buffalo Sabres was something else. I mean, he shed salary and two players. Now he only gives up the 31st overall draft pick. he gets a centerman that's under contract, that's obviously worthy of a Selke nomination, and he lifted the Stanley Cup, and he's a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He brought in Tyler Bozak. Obviously, we know that Patty Maroon on a one-year, $1.75 million deal didn't blow up the team when things weren't going, when things were going poorly. Yeah, so a lot of things for me lead to Doug Armstrong winning his second GM of the Year award.
You know, you mentioned Pat Maroon. He is a free agent. What's your prediction? What do you think could happen there?
Boy, I mean, I would hope that because he did lowball himself and bet on himself to win, that, I mean, my hope is that he comes back at minimum on a one-year deal. I obviously wouldn't be speaking for Doug Armstrong because that's not fair, but I mean, I think what a player does, what he meant to the team, I mean, personally, I just think it's the right thing to do. You know, I don't think it'll be about dollar figures for Pat Maroon. I think he'd like to enjoy the celebration being a St. Louis Blue and trying to do this all over again. So it'd be nice to see Pat Maroon back in a number 7 sweater.
Nobody made more money the last 2 months than Craig Berube, correct?
Well, it was nice to see Joe Vitale on the stage introduce him as the head coach, and I looked over at Doug Armstrong, who's beside me, and I said, well, looks like you're giving up a lot of dough to the coach. But you know what? That's the one thing about this game is when you do something this special, it lives forever. This group will walk forever in the same footsteps. And Craig Berube, he might have been the next MVP behind Ryan O'Reilly when it came down to the Conn Smythe Trophy. So it's nice to see him. And I know they'll work some. I mean, obviously they'll get it. They'll get a deal done. The one thing about Doug is he's loyal. The one thing about Craig Berube, he's been loyal to this organization, and he would know that this is the right thing to do. The entire coaching staff did phenomenal jobs, and I'm really proud of them.
Darren, I know you're going to get a ring being a part of the broadcast team for the Blues. I'm wondering, do broadcasters get a day with the Cup?
It's a good question. I've got many broadcast friends that have had that opportunity to have a couple of hours with it. John Kelly's won it before in Colorado, and he's had that opportunity. But I think every organization's different. I think, you know, Doug Armstrong's got to manage a lot of different, different countries. I mean, I'm sure it's going to Siberia. Here's what I think of, Frank. I mean, I wish I would have won this as a player. It was the only dream I ever had as a kid. I don't expect anything. If the broadcasters get a ring, I think that's unbelievable. If they get a 1 minute with the trophy, I think that's phenomenal. I always believe in the players being first and hope for the next part being that things like that get taken care of. So if it comes through, it'll be a great honor to wear a ring and to have an opportunity to be with the Stanley Cup.
Well, Darren, congratulations to you. As I've said to you in the past, I've never met a broadcaster who ingratiated himself and became a part of the community quicker than you did in St. Louis. It's almost like you played here. It's almost like you went to high school here because everybody knows and likes Darren Pang. Thanks so much for your time, young man.
That's a nice thing to say. Thank you very much, Frank. Appreciate that.
All right, the great Darren Pang joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. A couple of business items before we take a break. I want to tell you about our good friends at Bomberito. I was just there at Bomberito Ellisville because they are taking an active role in the NASCAR Truck Series, which is coming to St. Louis on Saturday at Worldwide Technology Raceway. They have a driver that's going to be doing his body work and working on the car right next to all those expensive, spectacular Audis. They just do an unbelievable job with, you know, the automotive business, but with also helping out competitors like this. And, of course, we have the Bomberito 500. So if you're looking for a car, go to bomberito.com. Broadcasting live from Old Hickory Golf Course, site of the Maryville University Golf Tournament. Go to maryville.edu for more information about this terrific university. We'll take a short time out. We'll talk to some coaches when we come back. Martin will be here at 11. We'll be right back after this.